1:10 in the afternoon here at KVMR FM, Nevada City, and joining us in studio, Chris Kelly, and we're going to be talking bikes. I guess we'll call it Bike Talk. And Chris, what have you got in store for us here today?
Well, it's simple. You know, we want to talk about bikes today, and Bike Talk's mission is to raise public awareness about subjects and issues related to the bicycle as a means to help making bicycling a much more approachable and enjoyable experience for everyone, and to helpfully spur some growth in the use of the bicycle as more than just a means of recreation.
And we're going to be taking phone calls as well. If you've got questions about bikes or about any material that Chris and his guest are going to be presenting, you can give us a call at 265-9555 in the 530 area code, or 800-355-5867, 800-355-KVMR.
Great. Well, the first thing we want to lead off with is that there's no such thing as an uncool bike. Every bike is a cool bike. And the thing that I've had about 20 or so years of worth of experience in the bike industry, running my company, Kelly Bike Company. And I'm at a unique point in time right now where I have some time to do some things that I've wanted to do but couldn't because I was so busy running the company. And I see the price of fuel going up to $5 a gallon, and diesel's even more expensive. And we're looking for alternative means of transportation to get around, so we're not relying on that. And I see some good things happening. I see the guys at XtraCycle making cargo bikes, people getting around on that, on those rigs that they make, and they're pretty neat. Also, there's a lot of people that have bikes in the garage that are sitting there collecting dust, and they're the main concern. The topics for today, by the way, are basically going to be the basics, which is basic bicycle mechanics and bicycle setup, bicycle safety and etiquette, and that's the rules of the road and common courtesy, and then the bicycle as a means of basic transportation, and it being a change of lifestyle for the country, for different communities around the country. And in the studio, I have my guest, Janelle Black, from People Power Transportation, so she's going to help me out along here today, and we're just going to have a conversation with people as they call in or just amongst ourselves, and thanks for coming to the studio tonight.
Thank you. And my name is Janelle Black, and I live in Nevada County. And a couple years ago, I started a group called People Power Transportation with another woman in town who is concerned about bicycling as a means of transportation. And we've our main mission is to empower people to use their bikes as means of transportation, and we do that through advocacy and education.
Yeah, that's a good cause. I like that. You know, we're leading up to the show. Janelle and I have had a few conversations and kind of tried to figure out what we wanted to talk about on the show. But it came down to a few different things. And I used to race way back in the day, and I accidentally got into the bicycle business, really. But something that you realize moving to Nevada County is, you know, it's not the easiest place to ride a bike. And
mainly because, significant.
Yeah, I'm a transplant from Oakland, and you know, we had a 5 or 10 mile ride in Nevada County is like a 30 mile ride in Oakland or the Bay Area or anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It's either up or down. There's not a whole lot of relief around here.
Yeah, when I first moved here, I come from Oregon, in Eugene, Oregon, where everything's pretty much flat, at least in town. And so I was used to riding on the flat land, and I thought I was going to die going up some of those hills. It was crazy. But I got a lot stronger as I rode more and more. And so I always try to encourage people, if they feel intimidated by the hills, that, you know, just take it slow and they'll get a lot stronger.
So patience is a virtue.
Yes. It does. You will get stronger, I promise.
Well, the other thing we run into out here is the roads themselves are pretty narrow. A ride from town here, for instance, if you're going out towards Downeyville on the Downeyville Highway, you know, you've got a descent down to the river, not a whole lot of shoulder, and you have a lot of people in vehicles that don't really understand what the rules of the road are and how they should regard bicyclists out there on the road. And, you know, it's a main topic that has been on my mind for quite a long time, since I moved up here in 2003. And it's really difficult to just want to get out there on the bike and actually participate on the road as much as I did back in the city. And you would think it would be the complete opposite, because here we have all this beautiful countryside, yet it's dangerous out there. You've got people, you know, throwing things and saying things and wanting mm-hmm. to touch you and slap you and, you know, that whole thing.
Well, I actually have a little bit different experience. I really enjoy riding up here, and I find it in some ways a lot easier and simpler than riding in the city because there's not so much to keep track of and remember. Mm-hmm. There's so much less traffic up here. And in this, when I'm down in the city, there's a lot more going on, a lot more to keep track of. So I actually prefer it in a lot of ways up here. I also find there are some alternate routes that you can take to stay off some of the more busy routes.
Yeah, that's something
more busy roads
that we want to talk about too. Mm-hmm. And if people have a favorite loop that they like to do or a favorite ride, whether it's mountain or road in the area. And we also welcome callers from out of the area, too. There's people listening to us on the web right now, and we want to welcome them as well. To feel free to call in if they have something they want to share.
And someone does.
Oh, boy.
Hi, you are live on KVMR Radio.
Hello.
Hi.
I've been riding from about the Root Center up past NU.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a very experienced rider. Like I say, it almost killed me the first few days. But you got to have the right gearing for this county.
Definitely.
You really do. That's key.
That's something you have to talk about because a lot of these older road bikes don't have it.
That's true. Many people ride mountain bikes around here, I mean, partly because they like to ride on dirt, but partly because they have lower gearing, I think. And so, yeah, definitely need low gears.
Yeah, we definitely love people to call in, too, and share with their success that they've had with certain bike setups that they've put together that work really well around here. For me, personally... I've always liked running a triple on a cross frame because it's really great dirt gearing, real great gearing for in the dirt. You're never out of gearing when you want to climb something steep, and whether it's in the dirt or on the road. But I find that gearing really, really helps you out on the road a whole lot. And you know, you're really not starving for a top gear either. You know, you have plenty of gearing on the top end too. If you're running down your gearing and putting, say, a mountain bike triple on there, it's something I've always liked to do. The guys who are more fit and train and race pro or race, they can push a larger gear, so they really don't quite, you know, get on the same page as us guys that are out of shape. But
yeah.
I share the same experience as you when I try to get out on my bike and enjoy a ride. It's my driveway's got 500 feet of climbing, and it's dirt, and I have 2 12% grades and ruts. So for me,
I don't think people are going to worry about the top gear so much when you're coasting down a hill.
That's right.
Your brakes are screaming.
Right, so it's good brakes and really good gearing is the key, and then also good tires. You don't want to have seconds for tires on there because they're another form of cheap insurance. I see people trying to save $5 on a tire that's of much less quality than something that is $5 more, and I look at that like, you know, what's your life worth to you? What's the skin on your body worth to you? You know, and what's your happiness worth?
Hey, before I get off the air, can I bring up something with you?
Absolutely.
I hate derailleurs. I always have. They're a pain in the neck. I could use other anatomy, but I just hate them.
Okay.
So I'm looking to buy...
Hate's a strong word. Even though it's illegal, I think I can relate to you what you're saying.
A Shimano Alphine is a really nice thing with disc brakes. It's an 8-speed internal hub.
Mm-hmm.
It covers down to about a 31-inch gear.
Cool.
It's even lower than that if you put on a larger rear sprocket.
What's the weight on that hub like? I mean, the internal hubs in the past have been quite heavy, but the weight has come down quite a lot on them over
the
years.
The whole bike, the commuter bike, was a good rack and a lot of high quality stuff. This bike is $1,500 to $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Finesse by Breezer. I don't know if you know about Breezer.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know Joe. Yeah.
They're making one called a Finesse now with these really high-end components. The whole bike weighs about 28 pounds.
Wow. We'll have to get on that site. Do you have a website for us that he has that bike?
BreezerBikes.com.
Okay, that's great. BreezerBikes.com.
It's called a Finesse.
A Finesse or a Finette?
Finesse.
A Finesse, as in?
E-S-S-E.
Have some Finesse.
Yeah.
That's great. What's your name?
Walter.
All right, Walter. Well, thanks for calling in, and feel free to hit us back if you have any more questions.
People usually think I'm crazy when I hate derailleurs because that's all there is.
Well, you know, we've got a little history in one speed over here at the Kelly Camp, so, you know, I kind of have my thing about derailleurs, too. I like simplicity.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks
for
calling.
And he has the honor of being the first call-in on Bike Talk Show.
Walter is the first caller.
This is we're trying out something new here today called Bike Talk. Hopefully, if you're interested in bikes, or either as because you're using them right now or because you're thinking about using them in the future, this is a place where you can give us a call and show your interest, and ask your questions. That numbers again to call 530-265-9555, toll-free 800-355-KVMR. Chris Kelly in here along with his guest Janelle Black. And hi, you are live on KVMR.
Hello?
You're live on the air right now.
Hi, it's Bob calling from Port Townsend, Washington.
All right, hi. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right.
I thought that was interesting that the guy that said he hated derailleurs, and I can kind of agree with that in some cases, and that the internal hub idea is a good idea, and that you're also keeping your chain line where you want it.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's a plus.
And the Sturmey Archer internal hubs are pretty nice. And up here we're seeing more people go back to more like a single ring up front, maybe a 36 to 42 tooth ring up front.
Mm-hmm.
And then a Sturmey Archer internally geared hub in the rear.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that can be laced to a wheel.
The thing you want to also kind of maybe point out up in Port Townsend, Washington, is the weather.
The weather?
Yeah, do you guys get quite a bit of rainfall up there?
It's about 19 inches a year.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's in the Olympic rain shadow, so it's not as rainy as you might think. You get a lot of gray days during the winter.
Yeah.
But not that much rain. Yeah. And, you know, the gearing, of course, is different here than Nevada City. And I lived in Nevada City for about 20 years.
So firsthand information here, that's great.
Yeah, having that triple up front's useful in the hills there.
It really is. It doesn't make you any less of a man.
No.
Having a triple on the front of your bike.
No.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say that I really appreciate what you guys are doing there and kind of getting the word out to the local community that don't be afraid of bikes and don't be afraid to learn how to work on them yourself too, and pick up a few books and get back on your bike.
That's definitely something we want to instill here, is that anyone can do this. It's not a completely difficult thing, and
absolutely.
And it's for everyone. It's a thing that people feel so intimidated by, but there's really nothing to be intimidated about, and there's plenty of good people around to that will be glad to help you with whatever you need help with. And so anyway, that's the cause of this show, is that we want to be here to, at least if nothing else, just put two and two together for some people, you know, put A to B. If someone has a question about something, someone else can perhaps call in, or there's a shop in the area that would like to call in and talk about, hey, we're here to help you guys with that kind of thing too.
Right.
Something as kind of a little forward vision I had for the whole bike community, at least in Nevada City, and I think other cities should do it, and other cities do it, and I'd love someone to call in with information on this or stories about the success, is like a free bike station where people can come into a little corral that has tools and maybe somebody that manages that area, that they can come in and just work on their bikes, and that people will help them
absolutely
learning some new things.
Sort of a bike co-op.
And, right.
You know, in the bigger picture, too, you could have... You know, you have food co-ops in the area and all kinds of things like that.
Right.
You could have an alternative energy co-op where it's not just bikes. It could be electric bikes, and it could be trailers that you pull behind your bike. And a group of people that can think outside the box get together, and you put a community of people together to where you've got the resources to where everybody can afford to get on their bike.
Right, and the key word being community, and it being community radio, too.
KVMR, absolutely.
That's right. You know, I passed through... in 1985, I crewed on Race Across America. I was the only mechanic on the crew for Paul Sullen. He ended up bagging it that year, and the next year he ended up winning it. But when we were passing through Steamboat Springs, Colorado, they had one of those workstations out there in front of a building on the main drag, and it was the coolest thing I'd seen. And to tell you the truth, I've seen a couple others in between that time in different cities I've visited, and it's just a fantastic idea. So maybe we can get on board doing something like that here, and maybe in other towns that all you other people that are listening can maybe think about doing something like that too.
Absolutely.
All right.
You're Chris, right?
I'm Chris, yes.
Yeah, Chris, if you ever get up to Port Townsend, I started a bike shop up here. It's www.biketownsend.com.
Cool.
And I want to say hi to my friends at Tour Nevada City there.
All right.
If you ever get up here, look me up. Let's go riding.
We're looking you up already. We're going to do it as just because you called.
And I got, you know, the inspiration was sort of like what you said. I ended up with a bike shop by accident. It wasn't premeditated.
I think it's contagious.
Yeah, it is. And I really appreciate what you guys are doing. I think it's great.
All right, great. Well, thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hearing from you again.
Thanks, Chris.
All right.
Bye.
I'm not sure about this. With 20 minutes on the air, and you've already got a road trip planned. What's up with that?
Well, you know, it works out. Like, I was in Bend, Oregon this last weekend. At the last minute, I got a call from SRAM to come up and help them do wheel support in the pro men's race. And it's guys like this. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. If I have somebody calling in like this that says, hey, I'm in Port Townsend, and I look on the map, oh, that's only like 300 miles left, you know, I'd be so inclined to fuel up the bike and just keep on going.
All right. Hi, you are live on KVMR.
Hey, this is Dave in here in Nevada City. I got a couple things.
All right, Dave, how are you?
Good. First, it has to do with the last caller about the co-op kind of concept.
Yeah.
I know that Steve and his students over at Seven Hills with the Recycle Bike Program.
They've fantastic program.
Got some energy moving in that direction. I'm not sure exactly what that's about, but, you know, something to throw our support behind, some sort of bike collective.
You bet. Maybe if Steve's listening, he can call in and kind of tell us how it works for him.
Yeah, there we go. That'll give him something else to do.
Yeah, I just saw his new truck that he had. He's got a mobile support truck. I was at the Audio Tunes for You in Grass Valley on the Idaho Maryland Road. And I saw his truck outside, and he was getting it outfitted for a stereo. So I know, in fact, he's going to have some probably good tunes in there, too.
Yeah, they've got some great things going on there.
I actually visited his shop up at the Seven Hills School a few years back when I had my shop on Searles Avenue, and their program there was amazing. It was just what they were teaching the kids on an elementary school level was fantastic, and that's really what needs to be happening across the country is you just need to be educating kids. I mean, and if they had something like that in Oakland where I came from, and all these kids that are bumming change for the bus knew that that bike that's sitting in their backyard with a flat tire, they could just get on that thing and ride to the other end of Oakland to a job or an opportunity of some kind that would keep them out of trouble, I thought that would be an amazing program.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the other great things is that they, too, well, I don't know if you didn't, it's not like he preaches it, but it comes across that bikes are cool. And even the ones that are sitting out back with it have bent wheels and need to get fixed up, those are cool bikes. And I think the kids get turned on to that.
I'll tell you what.
You don't have to have a $4,000 bike to have a cool bike.
And I'll tell you what, a lot of the big people in the industry feel the exact same way.
Yeah. Well, my other question more is I'd like to know more of the process of how roads get widened at the county level. And I assume this is probably a question more for Janelle.
Yeah, I can answer.
You know, when we see the repaving of the roads happening, it's like you want to stop and say, can you just widen that like 5 more feet and put a white line? And,
yeah.
But obviously that decision takes place way ahead of time.
Yeah,
so I wonder if you can just comment on that a little bit, you know.
Sure. I mean, that's a big issue because you really have to keep on the county and keep track of what they're doing to be able to ask them to widen roads, you know, before they actually go out there and widen it. Because by the time we see it actually happening, all the decisions have been made. One thing that happened in Nevada County recently, just last year, that's really great and gives a lot of opportunity for cyclists around here, is that the Nevada County Transportation Commission updated the county bicycle master plan, and it applies to the county and all three of the cities, Nevada City, Grass Valley, and Truckee. And all of those municipalities approved it, so it's in there. So they have all these improvements that are for roads that are in the plan that are kind of floating out there that we can ask for.
Okay.
And so if you go to the Nevada County Transportation Commission website, you can download the plan, or you can go look at it at their office, which is on Providence Vine Road, back in the trees somewhere. And you can look at their maps and find things. And one thing that would be really great to happen is for cyclists to get together around here and pick some improvements that we want and go to the county or go to the cities and say, this is what we want. You need to go ask Caltrans for funding so that you can do it. Because a lot of times there's not funding for some of that stuff. But now that there's a master plan, they can ask Caltrans for funding.
Right.
So that's the big thing that happened. That it was just all the approvals happened last year, and so 2007. So we have that opportunity, and it's really great.
I think also is what happens with programs like that is they're an afterthought when somebody does see the road getting paved.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize, hey, you know, it would be nicer if I had a little shoulder to ride on here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the whole point here about what we're talking about today is that we'd like to have this show be an ongoing program so that we could just build that awareness and people listen to the concerns of people calling in like yourselves and hopefully just build some real one-on-one awareness with people that are listening. I think that's really key. And the other thing I see is a lot of people waiting for something to happen. And that's never how it happens. If you want something to happen, you've got to make it happen. You've got to really build community, especially the cycling community, if you want to have something happen and be proactive about it. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really an important issue with cyclists on the whole, because you see a small group of maybe activists, and then you see a group of racers, and you have all your different groups of people that ride, but nobody's putting their heads together, or at least not enough people are putting their heads together to really start to build a program and get a consensus as far as what do we really like and what would we like to see on the roads out here.
And also building relationships with the county and with the cities and getting them and bringing it to their attention that there are things that we want, just and continuing to ask for things helps them. Helps remind them that maybe they should think about that when they, you know, plan or, you know, just a repaving or something. Oh, maybe we should think about whether we should put a little more shoulder on that.
It is all about building that relationship.
Yeah, that's really important.
That's right.
Now, I'm presuming, Janelle, that's something that happens through your organization
to some degree. Sometimes it's when I talk to people, it seems like they kind of say, oh, well, Janelle's taking care of it. You know, Janelle and her crew are taking care of it. And that's not, we are limited in our energy, so I think all of us can work together, and it would be great if the bike groups could all come together and work together in some of that, or even just do it on your own. I mean, if you want something, go and ask for it. You don't have to work through an established group,
right?
Necessarily,
because the things we're talking about right here in this one conversation benefit and affect everyone, directly or indirectly.
Well, great. Thanks very much for the call.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay,
thank you.
And hi, you are live on Bike Talk. Hello, you're live on Bike Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, you're live.
Cool. I'm Ron in Sacramento, and I've, in the past few years, had trouble getting on and off a bike because of a hip problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted you to speak a little bit about people with disabilities and maybe in terms of three-wheeled bikes. I've looked at some nice little low-slung recumbent three-wheelers, but,
sure.
You know, they're very expensive.
Well, let me first ask you this. What area in Sacramento do you live or what, you know, or
Oh, I'm
ride?
Very close to the bike trail. I'm near CSUS. I've got a lot of
good and flat
opportunities to ride, but I have to lay my bike down first to get on it. I haven't been able to, in a few years, be able to swing my, you know, the way you kind of, if you're kind of athletic, put your foot on the pedal and good old way of and swing the other, and I can't do it anymore.
Which hip are we talking about, Ron?
Usually I would get on a bike by putting my left foot on the pedal and then swinging my right leg over
on the roll.
And I'm not able to the difficulty in my hip, arthritic problem. Some of it has due to when you don't use something, it gets kind of stuck, and use it or lose it, that game, you know.
Well, okay, let me start in here by the best disclaimer I could lay down.
Okay.
I am not a doctor.
Yeah.
However, I've helped a lot of people with a lot of problems like that over the years.
Oh, really?
Similar. And in 2000, I had broken my right ankle, and in 2003, I shattered the heel in falling off a ladder in the garage in my house. And so getting back on the bike and trying to find my center and balance and strength is, I'm still going through that right now. And I guess the point is that it's a long process.
Yeah.
I do know also at UC Davis, and I'd love for some people to call in if they have any information on this as far as where is a good place to go, an institution or whatnot that addresses these type of things. But UC Davis has a really great program down there. There's a doctor down there I keep hearing about. The name escapes me right now. Maybe someone here, Janelle, maybe you know of it.
Mm-mm.
Somebody who's listening, maybe they know it and they can call in, because there's some really great people out there in the kinesiology department that, you know, that can really...
Over on the campus or here at UCD Med Center?
They're all over the place, and there's actually local people. But I know UC Davis has a really great, it's a program where there's, I think Eric Heiden's involved with it. He was an Olympian in 84.
Yeah.
And he's involved with that program with Max, I can't remember his last name. If the folks over at Nevada City, Tour of Nevada City are listening, there's Chris McGovern there. He knows all those guys. He can maybe call in and give us some information like that, that pertains to that. But I would think that'd probably be the best I can help you with today. But it's a slow process is what I can tell you. And you're already in the heat, so that can do its best with arthritis. So, you know, it's the best conditions other than moving to Arizona.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Good luck to you, Ron.
And thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Okay. We should point out, just as you were saying, the views, opinions, the advice, the recommendations, the whatever words are uttered by any of us on this show are those of the speakers only and not necessarily, or the callers, and not necessarily those of KVMR, its board, staff, or contributors.
And our call-in numbers are 530-265-9555 if you're calling from out of the area, or 800-355-KVMR. That's 5867.
And we have somebody on the phone right here. You're live on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to say that in partly what the gentleman before was saying as far as rehabilitating and getting back on a bike.
Right.
With I have knee issues, and one of the best things for me has been just go to the gym, ride it for a short time, the bike at the gym, and work your way up. Mm-hmm. And then you can get on a regular bike, and I've been able to, from not being able to ride at all, now I can ride it pretty well.
Right, so that's building great. Strength.
Yeah, and it just gets you used to it. And he doesn't have to swing his leg over like that either. That's like a guy thing.
Yeah.
I tried to do that before. I almost killed myself because my other foot hit the pedal.
Right.
And hit the seat, and everything went down.
Right. I was asking him which hip, because usually on a bicycle, you stand on the left side of the bike, one foot on the ground, then you kick your foot over, click it into the right pedal, which is your chainring side, so you don't get a big chainring mark on the back of your leg or get poked by the chainring.
Right.
And so that's kind of what I was... that's where I was going with that, but
or just straddle the bike and then figure out how you want to put your feet on the pedal.
Right. Then when he was telling me he put the left pedal in, he's in the left pedal and then he kicks over to the right. I'm thinking, well, that sounds like you're in a cyclocross race ready to go charging the field.
Yeah, you don't need to do like
so
that.
Take it easy, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Take things slow.
This is a related topic, and I've been on the radio before harping about this. That in terms of rapid transit, there are options, and if you can get yourself down to Auburn. If you want to go into Sacramento, there's the Placer County bus. Mm-hmm. Every hour, it's $1.
Great.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's also
the light rail, and you have a transfer.
Yeah.
And you can go all over the place.
How long does it take to get from Auburn to Sacramento?
It takes an hour. They stop. It takes an hour to get from Auburn Amtrak to WAD and I-80 light rail, because they stop at Sierra College in the Galleria, and then they go to light rail.
Wow, that's good.
But it's really good, and then it's so cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's great.
And I think most people don't know about it, and I use it, and it works for me.
Yeah, you can also take your bike and all that. And
Your bike.
And there is a bus from Grass Valley to Auburn as well.
There is. It's a little bit lighter schedule.
Yeah.
It's sometimes harder to get back when you want to get back.
Yeah.
But it's definitely doable, and it's a good option right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's
all right.
Good.
Thank
that's
you,
great
guys.
Information. Thank you for calling in with that.
Yeah, bye.
Thanks for the call. And hi, you are live on Bike Talk on KVMR Radio.
Hi, yeah, I was just calling about the guy that calls him Sacramento. Actually, the Sacramento Parks and Rec District has an adaptive director for adaptive park and rec activity.
Wow.
And he was responsible for getting a hand crank bike for my little brother who was paralyzed. And he's well dialed into all the adaptive sports and bicycling. He's actually uses a hand crank bike himself.
Wow.
So if the guy wanted to call the Sacramento Parks and Rec, and I totally drawn a blank on his name, otherwise I'd give it to you. But
is there a website that someone can access to send an email or contact information with that? Sacramento Parks and Recreation, just Google
it's
it.
It's Sacramento Parks and Rec, and then they just have an adaptive sports director.
Right.
Who helps organize activities, and he's an active cyclist, and so he's well aware of issues regarding disabled and bicycling. So
that's a great tip.
You want to give him a tap and see what, you know, comes of that.
You hear that, Ron? You got to call or look up the adaptive director in Sacramento Parks and Parks and Recreation. That's a really good.
Yeah, because this guy's tied into. I mean, you know, obviously hand crank bikes are extremely expensive, and he's running statewide on, you know, people who are having to get rid of them or whatever, and he knows where all the good deals are.
God, that's a great service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a great service. Okay, well, thanks for that.
Yeah. Thanks for the call.
No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
And this is Bike Talk with bicycle consultant expert Chris Kelly, and we'll call her activist Janelle Black. It just has a
she's just
kind
much
of
she's
cool
much more than that
to
though.
It.
You know,
and with the People Powered Transportation is the name of the group, mm-hmm. Rick. By the way, how can people reach that? How can people reach their People Powered Transportation group?
What a good name!
We have a website. It's called BicycleNevadaCounty.com, and we also have an email that you can use, foothillcycling@yahoo.com, and you can email that or check out the website and get in touch with us that way.
And those folks return emails, too.
Thank
and it's
you.
Nice to hear people calling in from Sacramento as well,
where
bicycles can become a very crucial way of commuting and getting around and that sort of thing.
On flatlands, there's just no excuse not to ride other than the heat.
Hi, you are live on KVMR Radio on Bike Talk.
Yes, hello?
Yes,
hello?
You're live on the air.
Oh, hi. I was just listening to the person was talking about knee injuries.
Yes.
I would make a suggestion. Many years ago, I blew both my knees out. I played competitive handball.
Mm.
And I was able to rehabilitate myself with Tai Chi.
Mm. Mm.
And the interesting thing about Tai Chi is it moves you out of your muscles and it works more on the insertions and the connective tissue.
Right.
And a lot of your joint strength has to do with that, and building the muscles up aren't going to help.
Yeah, that's a good point, though, is that, and, you know, you're using other different activities
to
help build strength.
Yeah, it took me about 6 months. But the thing is one thing he should avoid, he should, in whatever he's doing, he should make sure he keeps his knee in line with his toe and not to hyperextend it at any time.
Right.
Because that's how the knee gets injured. It's actually a weight transfer joint, not a weight-bearing joint.
Well, you know what they say, old habits die hard. For a lot of people, it's as simple as that. But the point that you're making here is a great point, which is use other means to build up muscle and strengthen in your body, your core, your legs, your knees, everything. You know, I'm still, my right calf is a third the size of my left one because I just haven't had the time to rehabilitate, and so I'm sort of back on the program, except for all the smoke we've had lately. It really knocked me off my bike, so I think I gained 5 or 10 pounds or something like that in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, the beauty of Tai Chi is that you gain flexibility without really loading. You can always stay within your capabilities. So you're totally in control of it.
Right. I don't even want to call it a sport. I think Tai Chi is just a great martial art.
It is a great martial art. But,
yeah.
On the foundation of the art is health. And so you do the one and you gain the other in the process.
Right.
It's a long-term solution, and you can't hurt yourself unless you try that no pain, no gain stuff.
That's right. I also see getting people getting really strong doing yoga.
Mm-hmm. Yes, same thing. Although the problem with yoga, again, is as taught in this country, people tend to try to push themselves beyond their barriers rather than staying within their capabilities. If you stay within what you're capable of, you
right.
will still progress, but you won't injure yourself and fall backwards.
It's like mm-hmm. so many things in life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention there's a local woman who has taught a bicycling and yoga. Not yoga on your bicycle, but yoga for bicyclists to help counteract some of the positions that you get into on your bicycle.
Oh, great. What's her name?
Her name is Suzanne Weber, and there may be some other people who have done that as well, but she taught one recently, and she probably could be persuaded to teach it more often.
The calls keep rolling in.
Right, if there are a lot of people interested.
Right.
So this is not yoga, not yoga on your bicycle.
No.
Because I was going to say that.
That could be challenging.
Let's see the headstand.
we could
down the hill, headstand right there. I can see it.
We could do a custom program from you if you'd like to do yoga on your bicycle.
Yeah, right. Numbers to call, 530-265-9555 or 800-355-KVMR. Hi, you are live on KVMR. I guess that we were just we were too fast for them.
I think they were on hold for 3 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, we noticed a couple of people have dropped off and they were waiting.
Got to remember this
those,
is an hour
those
show.
Bicyclists don't have quite the patience of the gardeners.
Well, you
I
know.
Guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk about getting a bike and what kind of bike people might want to get.
Right. That's what we were talking about a few weeks ago when we were chitter chattering about stuff. And you know what really compelled me to want to have you on the show was the first thing you said to me when I was mentioning that I might be doing a show called Bike Talk, and you said, hey, you know, the question I get a lot is people ask me, where can I get an inexpensive bike?
A used bike,
right.
Yeah.
And why don't you elaborate on that?
Well, I have four bikes, and they're all, if you put them all together and sold them all together, it probably wouldn't amount to the cost of a nice new bike. Because they're all, you know, from the thrift store and, you know, kind of cobbled together and fixed up and all this stuff happened. So, you know, having a good quality used bike can be a really great option. And there isn't a really good source for used bikes around here right now. And so that's something that would be a great thing to have.
Yeah.
Connected to the show or whatever.
You know, there's good local sites too. You know, Craigslist is always great. You know, you can find lots of great stuff on Craigslist. And road bikes are just soft. It's hard to get a lot of money for a road bike when you're selling one. I just sold one on eBay. It was a $2,600 bike. I got $13 for it and free shipping. And that, you know, is a lot of road bike. But you can find road bikes and really great used bikes for very little and in the local area.
And hi, you're live on KVMR.
Yes, hi. Enjoying your show. I have a mountain bike, and I'm trying to get an electric conversion kit for it.
Holy.
Anybody got any sources that are hopefully local?
Well,
I know someone who has investigated the electrical conversion issue around here, and he was dissatisfied with it for this area because of the hills. He found that they didn't have enough power. The batteries didn't hold enough. But there may be some other things that he's found out since I spoke to him last. His name is Rich Looney. He used to own a shop called TR2 on East Main Street, and now he works with Steve Davis at the Seven Hills Bicycle Recycle Project.
Definitely a great resource.
Yeah, and
great
so he's guy. A good person. He would know everything about the conversion kit. There is one that's called the Stoke Monkey that's made specifically for the extra cycle that people...
Does it go on the rear hub or the front hub?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly how it works. But it's designed for an extra cycle, so parts of it go into the bags. And
electric
like
hub
that.
People, call in.
Yeah.
Let us know where you can get a great electric hub. Let us know where the options are, because that's something I'm not too fluid on.
Yeah, I don't know much about him.
Right.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. And hi, you are live on Bike Talk.
Hi, this is Bob. I called earlier.
Hey, Bob.
The caller that called about electric. There's the Wilderness Hub kits. But
okay.
Probably the most powerful system on the market right now, let me turn my radio down, is the Crystallite hubs. You just go to crystallite.com, C-R-Y-S-T-L-A-Y-T-E, and front or rear hubs. You can even put disc brakes on them, and you can put up to seven speed freewheels on the back.
Wow.
That's information awesome. On the web about electric hubs. You've got 72-volt systems now. You can put, you know, anything up to 100 amp-hour batteries on there and go 35 to 40 miles an hour on an electric bike, no problem if you're running lithium iron phosphate batteries.
Wow, how much battery weight are we talking about?
A 48-volt, 20 amp-hour, Life PO4 battery, which is lithium iron phosphate.
Sure.
You're looking at about 17 to 18 pounds. If you do a 36-volt system, something modest, if you're a strong pedaler and you're going to pedal along with it and you want to get 20-25 miles of range,
right.
A 36-volt 10-amp-hour battery weighs about 12 pounds.
So you use it more
iron phosphate.
Use it more as an assist then.
Exactly.
I'd like to see some more of those systems charging as they're running. I know we're talking about perpetual motion here, but you know, that's always been my in the back of my mind as the vision for battery powered bikes, or you know, battery powered hubs,
right,
or drive units for bicycles, is something that regenerates. Even if you got to find some kind of solar panel that really can can suck in the power from the sun and transmit it to the battery in a quick way so that you're
right.
recharging as you ride. So,
like the hybrid, the concept of regenerative
right.
braking, generating some power on board.
Right, because I think electric bikes are great. I personally don't own any. I have the kind that you run gas in, but big 1100cc motorcycles. But
right. The best resource on the web that I can find
yeah.
for everything electric, all the manufacturers that make trikes and bikes,
mm-hmm.
it's www.ihpva.org.
Good note. I'm writing it down as we speak.
This
is an unbelievable resource.
IHTVA, T as in Tom or P as in Peter?
IH Peter, Virginia. Alpha.
Got it. IHPVA.org.
Exactly.
Okay.
Human-powered boats, cargo haulers and trailers, folding bikes, mobility, outdoor fitness, rail bikes, recumbent bikes, everything.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great bit of information. I appreciate that very
okay,
much.
Sure.
Feel free to call in again if you...
Okay.
All right.
Thank
Good
you.
Hearing from you again, Bob.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. We've got time for a few more calls here, just past 1:50 in the afternoon here at KVMR FM Nevada City Bike Talk with Chris Kelly and Janelle Black today. Hi, you are live on KVMR.
I have a question about if there was a comparable map around roads with a wide shoulder for, you know, comfortable bike riding.
For around here, for Nevada County?
Yeah.
There is not a map yet. That is something that would be great to create as a cycling community, or to ask the county to create. Right now, the way we get information is either go out there and ride it and see what it's like, or you just ask other cyclists, and because there are a lot of people that know the roads really well. And actually, if you email into my group, People Power Transportation Group, then we'll, you know, try to give you some information, because a lot of us know the roads around here. So that's one.
Should probably mention too, at the same time, whenever I'm in tour of Nevada City or any of the other bike shops, there's some really good mountain trail maps. Although you're asking for a road map, so maybe we're putting a shout out there to somebody who's looking for a new little line of business that needs a new niche, defining what would be great road routes around the Nevada County area, because myself included, I sometimes just go scope it out on the motorcycle, which is kind of cheating. But I hate to get down a big ravine that's a 1,000 or 1,500 foot climb or 2,000 foot climb and realize when I get there that I don't have the energy for it. So
yeah.
definitely needed.
There is a cycle map made through, I can't remember the, but they make several cycle maps, and maybe Krebs, am I remember that name right? Maybe. But they have, I think Adventure Cycling is connected to it. Starts with a K, R-E-B-S.
Krebs.
I think that's the name. And they have a map that's of this area, but it's pretty zoomed out. So they don't have all the local roads on it. But they do have some information about a few roads. And their style and their the way they set up their bike maps would be a really good format for a map for here.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking there'd be the way they do or rate ski trails would be a way. You know,
yeah.
In other words,
right.
if you had little signs up saying how degree
right.
of difficulty for the next 5 miles.
Of
yeah, they yeah. have that kind. Yeah, they have little arrows that show how steep it is.
You know,
it's really good.
The truth of the matter is, it'll take you 10 years of living here to find out about some of these great cross and connecting roads by accident. And they'd been there the whole time, and you just didn't know about them, and it was a simple road, but it's what kept you from riding your bike. So if people know some really great routes, or if they know some maps out there that people can find, or if somebody can, you know, I don't create one. You know, we've got computers now, and we've got great programs, MapQuest, Google Maps. If we could incorporate some really good bike commute maps, not only in Nevada County, but in a lot of other counties, and all the other counties in California and, and across the country, that would be an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that Placer County has a pretty good bike map that you can get for free from the county transportation department.
All right.
Hi, you are live on KVMR Radio.
Hi.
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 This is Zach.
Hey, Zach.
And I've had the pleasure, I think, of meeting both you. Janelle, I've worked with before.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say thanks so much for the work you guys are doing in the community.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, Zach, but we're only like 1 hour into it, so
we'll keep it up. I was going to recommend a great kind of semi-paved lower Colfax road.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You
That's
can loop
nice
out
one.
Actually down Rattlesnake and up Mount Olive via Dog Bar.
What's that like as far as rolling and climbing goes?
Mount Olive is a dirt section to it,
okay,
which is pretty steep, but the whole rest of it is very very friendly.
How many miles of dirt and how steep?
It's probably around a half a mile, I think, or less.
Well, I think I maybe could even do that.
Yeah, you can always
half
push it up, which is what my wife and I do on our tandem.
What's the percentage of that?
The percentage of the ride?
Of the grade.
Oh, got me maybe 20%.
Wow. Now, maybe I don't want to do that ride.
But that's a short section. The rest of it's carless almost.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Lower
Colfax Road is really nice. I've taken that.
All right, Zach. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for the word.
Thanks.
Thanks for the call. That's one of the tips you were looking for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
where
yeah.
We're ending. We're in our closing moments here. So if there's something that we wanted to that you wanted to cover, we get another call. We can try that.
We're covering it.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi. You are live on. You're live on KVMR Radio on Bike Talk.
Hello. I was listening about the maps and remembered one of the phone books, and I just looked it up, the Gold Country Telephone Directory, one of the aftermarket phone books.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Has 13 recommended Nevada County's favorite rides.
Really?
Oh, cool.
In the pages near the front of it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the one I'm looking at, which is last year's, so it might be different page numbers, that starts on page 21 and goes through page 25.
So now, after all, there is a reason to have a phone book in the house again. Wow. Because they became a dinosaur there after the internet started to really take place. So that's a good resource.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And we'll squeeze one more call in. Hi, you are live on KVMR.
Hey, I just wanted to say it's a great idea for a show, and there is just a huge cycling community out there, and to provide a voice would be just a fantastic idea.
Far out.
And I also wanted to say I really like the idea of sharing routes. I noticed mm-hmm. that was just starting to happen. And also, in closing, I just wanted to say, go Garmin Chipotle in the Tour de France.
Yeah. About that, huh?
All right. Talk
All
to
right.
you later.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Well,
okay, which relative of yours was that, Chris?
Well, I'm not going to tell that
okay.
right now. It's confidential.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we any final comments from the two of you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, when we were talking about doing this show, I thought that we'd get more into the things that happen on a road between bikes and cars because it's such a deterrent, and I think it's what keeps the whole cycling thing on the road for a lot of people that are not as advanced as others from really approaching it. So I would hopefully we'll do a second show if we get the green light, and if we do, then I want to talk more about those types of things in the future. But in the short run, just keep looking at the website here at KVMR to see what's going on with Bike Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And we really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. There is some information on bicyclenevadacounty.com for you to look at. And also, we are talking about doing some kind of community forum in mid-September about bicycling and the law. Bicycling on the road and
right.
what the law says and mm-hmm. interacting with cars and that kind of thing.
And again, the website for that is?
BicycleNevadaCounty.com.
Bicycle.
It's not on there. It's not publicized on there yet because it's not confirmed exactly when it'll happen. But, keep your ears open.
It's going to be on there pretty soon
mm-hmm.
now, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And if you've got questions or comments about the show, you can send them to program at the word program. At kvmr.org. That's the word program at kvmr.org. Or you can obviously send comments to KVMR at 401 Spring Street. And that's Nevada City, California, zip code 95959.
Also, you could send messages directly to me through my website. That's kellybike.com. And I answer the email from the website. So if you had questions or comments or ideas that you wanted to share with me via email, I answer my email up till 10 o'clock at night sometimes.
And contact information?
Foothillscycling at yahoo.com. And also check out our website, bicyclenevadacounty.com. Thank
All
you.
All right. Thanks for being on the show, Janelle.
Thank you.
All right.
And it's just about 2 o'clock in the afternoon here at KVMR FM, Nevada City. And coming up next, it's a swinging affair. Yeah, with Ron Avanzino. Thank you.